Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe. So I was reading this story with my children the other day, and it got me thinking about something that we should discuss. It is from a book called Buddha at Bedtime. It's a fun book and a meaningful book of Buddhist stories put in a way for kids for at bedtime, obviously, right? And the author, though I may butcher the name, is Dharmachari Nagaraja. And I will post this book on my social media in case one of you wants to find it. There is a story that happens to be on page 131 of my copy of the book, and the story is called Goblin Island. Now, I'm not going to read you the whole story, but I am going to paraphrase it for you and read a few little sections so that you can get the message here. Okay, so there are these men out in their ship, right? Sailors, pirates, whatever works for you. And there's a storm and they get thrown up on the edge of this island and they're stranded. And then out of nowhere appear a group of beautiful women. They're carrying baskets of delicious fruits and new clothes and inviting them to stay in their huts. And so, as you can imagine, for days on end, these sailors are being treated like kings by these women, and they're fed scrumptious meals, and it all seems too good to be true. In fact, they're enjoying it so much that they forget about their normal lives, their families, and their friends waiting at home. Finally, after several days, one of the sailors starts to recognize that, you know, hey, there's no other men on this island, and he starts to ask questions. Of course, they just tell them that the men sailed away many years ago and never returned. Oh, the sympathy this must have, you know, brought up in their hearts. But of course, this one guy was a little sketchy on this, you know. So he starts moving around, creeping around at night, and he ends up overhearing one of the women's voices. She says, "We need to fatten them up so we can eat them before they escape." Holy crap, right? He peeks through the door, and what was a beautiful woman is a terrifying goblin, and he's like, oh shit, we've been tricked. And so he goes back to tell his friends, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, we have to get out of here, except for one big dude who is too excited about what he's got. He says, you must have been dreaming. These are beautiful women. They can't possibly be goblins. And there's no way I'm leaving. And he goes back off to the huts to continue enjoying the debauchery of it all, to ignore what is true and what is real. So he's gone and the other guys are like, no, And they start praying, right? And so one of the gods shows up and he's so pleased that these individuals realize the mistake that they made, that they just glossed over the reality of their problems, that now they are ready to move on. And so this god transforms himself into a beautiful silver winged horse and is ready to scoop them up and take them away. And at the last minute, crazy in denial dude comes running out and he's like, oh my God, they were heating up a pot to cook us in. And they grab him and he says, I'm sorry, I didn't listen. I didn't want to believe that it was true. And the god whisks them all away from Goblin Island to the safety that comes when we learn of our own ignorance. Now, one of the things I love about this book is at the bottom of each story, there's this little Buddha cloud where they say the message. And the message of this story happens to be, it can be tempting to ignore the facts when you wish that they were different. A wise person knows the importance of facing up to the truth, and they tackle every challenge head on. Now, this story could be used in a lot of ways, but for me, this is about spiritual bypass. Do y'all know what spiritual bypass is? Some of you assuredly do, and many of you don't. I also talked to a very talented healer yesterday And we talked about spiritual bypass, which sort of sealed the deal on this being this week's episode. She's a talented healer. She's a gifted empath. And yet the spiritual bypass is real. She has not allowed herself to heal from everything that's happened in her life and to recognize that this continual human project, education, is essential. That at no point in time are we so spiritual that nothing affects us. That's not the point. We wouldn't be here if that was the point. Spiritual bypass is sort of like escapism. It's using spiritual practice to escape from pain, right? It's allowing others to hurt you, or when a healer takes in energy instead of allowing it to dissipate in other ways. It is using the understanding of spiritual reality to push away or to invalidate our emotions, anger, sadness, fear. It is something we do instead of feeling or learning. It is paving over the top of the thought holes or putting up police tape around them and just avoiding them altogether instead of feeling them, learning from them, filling them in so that they are no longer reality. It is sort of becoming the Swiss cheese of it all. You know, we've talked a lot about how calm is a superpower, and yes, it is, but that does not mean that we just cease to acknowledge what is happening to us. There are times that I get angry. There are times that I feel hurt. I feel sad. The difference between spiritual bypass and falling into the bottom of the pits of human emotion, it's somewhere in the middle, right? I recognize that whatever negativity is happening, whatever old business is coming up, whatever new buttons are being pushed, that at no point in time are we meant to be so spiritual that those things can't touch us, that we allow ourselves to be hurt or misused or whatever for the sake of just being peaceful. This is not the deal, right? When I or anyone else says think positive thoughts, right, it does not mean that we ignore them, that we just brush right over. That doesn't work. An affirmation doesn't work without a denial first. Ignoring the negative is not what makes it go away. Answering it is. It's acknowledging the what ifs. It's learning the lessons. It's overcoming the Nephilim. I wonder how many of you know what Nephilim are. In the book of Enoch, okay, so Enoch is a book in the Bible, much of which was found later after the fact, Dead Sea Scrolls, blah, 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 a story for another day. So Enoch, metaphysically, is an instruction in a new state of thought and understanding. It is entrance into an education toward spiritual consciousness. And in the book of Enoch, they warn against the Nephilim. Nephilim are supposed to be the children of women and angels within the land of Khan. Different people say it different ways, okay? So angels are spiritual thoughts. Women are our flesh and emotions, and Khan is the physical. So the Nephilim is when humanness and spiritual thoughts get muddied together. They are called the fallen angels. They are wisdom and spiritual truth dropped into humanness, and it is sort of it's enlightenment that is taken, not earned. So, in other words, they are hypocrites, or what I call poachers. Poachers are spiritual people who know just enough to find the cracks in others and make them addicted to what it is they have to offer. So it's real easy to become the Nephilim. It's real easy to indulge in spiritual practice instead of spiritual existence. And in doing so, we live in a consciousness that holds us back, that is negative and more egoic than a spiritual person likes to admit that they can be. Robert Augustus Masters defines spiritual bypass like this. Spiritual bypass is a very persistent shadow of spirituality, manifesting in many forms, often without being acknowledged as such. Aspects of spiritual bypassing include exaggerated detachment, emotional numbing or repression, overemphasis on the positive, anger, phobia, blind or overly tolerant compassion, weak or too porous boundaries, lopsided development, meaning the cognitive intelligence of spiritual things is outweighing the moral or emotional education, debilitating judgment of one's own negativity, devaluation of the personal relative to the spiritual. This is important, guys. You hear me say this all the time. Both parts of life are important, the human and the spiritual. And the last one that he cites is delusions of having arrived at a higher level of being, or as we know about the Nephilim, right? Spiritual awareness that's taken, not earned. We have to earn it. We have to fill in the thought holes. We have to grow and learn and acknowledge the negativity. It is necessary. It is why we are here. It is human education. To avoid this state of consciousness, we have to avoid spiritual bypass. It's important because otherwise it's spiritual practice, right? Just a couple weeks ago, we had a whole episode about the difference between spiritual practice and spiritual existence. It is important that we do not just use our spiritual practice, our spiritual knowledge, to avoid facing the unresolved issues within our lives, or to avoid completely developing the underdeveloped parts of our own human experience. Bypass is stagnation. It is faked perfection. It's denying the darkness. And yet, when our spirit chose to come here, it chose to experience darkness, to see it, to learn from it, to grow through it, so that we could recognize who we truly are. This is absolutely necessary and one of the primary purposes for our spiritual existence. Alethea Luna said, for too many people, spirituality becomes a sort of crutch used as a way to stand up again in the face of life's turmoil. And sometimes this is necessary. But the problem comes when spirituality is used as a drug for which we become dependent in order to bypass the darker elements of our lives. Yes. If you continually use the affirmations of it all, the idea that you should be bigger, above, and beyond human emotion, feeling, sacrifice, all of it, if you do that, you'll never learn. You will continue to repeat the same cycle of human lessons and activities. You will continue to have boundaries too weak, intentions too calm. You will continue to see the same crisis, the same challenge again and again. And eventually you will leave, and then you will come back to this earth to do the same thing over again. Some have called spiritual bypass premature transcendence. Oh, I like that. And this happens a lot, especially in early awakening or when somebody first recognizes that they have a spiritual gift. Suddenly they have this time of great learning and transcendence, this up the spiral staircase, so to speak, and many doors are opened and new things are learned. And then the old comes bumbling up. It is not that the transcendence is premature. It is that with a weak foundation, it will crumble. Be patient Beloved, acknowledge the error thoughts when they come up. Answer the what ifs. Answer the what ifs like you need to for a child. When a child hears their parents fighting and they're stricken with fear, what happens? What happens if the two of you can't be okay again? Just telling them that you'll be together forever doesn't solve their pain and fear. They need to know what it would look like. They need you to tell them, what would it look like? Right? It would look like you and me living here and you visiting your other parent in their new home. It would look like two parents who love you, but it's never going to happen. Answer the what ifs, beloved. Fill them in. Fill in the thought holes. Recognize when that hole in your thinking is false and fill it up with the truth. Fill it up with what you know for sure, who really does love you, who really does have your back, what you will do if. Fill the thought holes. Don't just let them be there. Don't just fly over them. Using some spiritual practice that is meant to reveal to you the weak spots in your spiritual armor. We must learn and grow. It is the whole point. If we were just meant to latch onto spiritual ideas, spiritual truths, and spiritual practice, we wouldn't be in a body. We'd be something else. There are other incarnations. There are other places our spirit could be where that is all there is. But we chose Earth, beloved. We chose Earth. None of us should ever be ashamed or embarrassed when we have a moment that is not spiritually perfect. No, we're supposed to feel, we're supposed to experience it. How long that takes is up to us. To dwell in it for days or weeks on end, that would be a mistake. But to feel it, to let it wash through you, flood over you, where you can truly take in the lesson and pull out the education, this is true. But spiritual bypass is not just about us failing to learn for ourselves. Sometimes it's about us endangering ourselves. Sometimes it's about not allowing yourself to see that someone is bad. I don't mean like intrinsically bad ever. But to not acknowledge that someone is who they show you they are is ignorance, not spirituality. Love them. Bless them. Acknowledge their potential for perfection, the potential for good, and then if need be, stay away from them. It is not your job to fix people, no matter who you are, no matter what your spiritual gift, no matter what your relationship to them, even if they're your child. In the Bible, it says, honor thy mother and father. And people take that to believe that they should put up with the pains and ugliness of others, their family, sometimes even their friends. Love your enemies does not mean allow someone that is toxic and negative and showing you who they are to continue to be within your boundaries. Sometimes we honor people by staying away from them. Sometimes we estrange ourselves from others because with that distance, we can remember their potential for good. We can see it clearly. We can hold on to it and know that one day they will leave that flesh trap and go back there. But in their presence, when we're allowing them to hurt us again and again, that becomes impossible to see. Bypass is stagnation. It's allowing those things to stay in our lives, turning a blind eye and painting it with a color we call spirituality. This is not okay. It slows us down, it holds us back, and it is an activity of the ego to say, these things don't bother me, I'm too zen. Sometimes they don't. Maybe it really is a test, a pop quiz to make sure it's a lesson that you've learned. I'm not saying everything has to be crazy drama. I'm not. But don't bypass the things that are returning, showing back up, persisting, because you didn't quite learn the lesson in the first place. Spiritual bypass is something that slows you down. It doesn't speed you up, right? You don't want to ignore the lesson because it's some speed bump slowing you down. The opposite is true. It will speed you up. Take the time, pause, learn the lesson, right? Check and make sure the store is open on Thanksgiving Day before you drive all the way out there. Learn and grow in the moment as things come up. And you will actually speed, quicken the process of your awakening. Yes. Yes, there are times that we use our spiritual knowledge and our spiritual practice to survive a situation. We sit around the table with some family member that is negative or racist or limited in whatever way. And we focus on what our own truth is and on growing patience instead of unleashing on them the way that we might want to. Spiritual bypass would be to leave that meal and say, I am too big to have this hurt me. When they have insulted perhaps your own way of life. I just spoke to one of my beautiful lesbian clients who had a meal with her grandfather who went on this whim about how anti-gay he was, how horrific it was. And in the same day, I talked to another one of my clients who is a stylist who sat as a client, said horrific things about gays. And she happens to be bi. Both of them were put in this situation where someone in seeming authority was spewing negativity on them. Both of them handled this with grace in the moment. Right? They used their spiritual practice, their spiritual patience. They found open doors by which to add just a little bit of enlightenment to the conversation. One of them wept when the moment was over, released the energy, acknowledged that it was hurtful, it was painful to hear those things from someone that she cares about and respects. The other decided it wasn't okay to let it bother her. And this thing grew. It grew into anger. And by the time she and I talked about it, it had turned into this thorn within her that she refused to acknowledge. She was literally having digestive trouble because of holding that in. She needed to address how painful it was to hear a man she had looked up to her entire life being not only so insulting to what was her way of life, but just simply so narrow-minded and grossly bigoted. How it had broken down her image of him as such a wise and admirable human being. That it changed the way she would remember him once he passed. These are things to mourn. To bypass them spiritually is to limit our experiences, to limit our growth. There are countless examples, beloved, and I can imagine that each and every one of you has at least one example in your mind. Now, there are some of you listening right now that I know are thinking you need a little spiritual bypass because you're falling down the thought holes. You're dwelling in the emotions. It's okay to do that. Just don't stay there too long. Remember, deny the power it has over you and affirm what you know is the truth. Learn and grow. Have boundaries. See people as who they truly are. And no, it's not your job to fix them. The only person that we are here to fix, and not even to fix, to wake up, is ourselves. I believe that we are born with access to every bit of knowledge that we need, every bit of knowledge in the universe. The plan. The idea is to come here and remember. Most of you know I was a teacher for 15 years, most of which I taught first grade. And over time, they began to pile into my classroom the children who had different types of learning disabilities. Everything in the gamut, right? Including emotional issues, and then some gifted children as well. I remember deciding to take on the teaching philosophy that these children were here imbued with the knowledge of everything that they needed to know, and that I wasn't teaching them anything, I was reminding them. And as soon as I did that, I broke through to children that no one else could touch. I taught children to read that people said would never learn to read, because I quit thinking I was teaching them or changing them. I was just reminding them with my attitude and my joy and my belief. When we quit trying to change people, they change themselves. And when they show us that we need separation, we should claim it. Porous boundaries are a huge mistake of the awakening soul. Don't allow that for yourself. Learn and grow. Enjoy the lessons. Grow through, not past. Until next time, beloved, namaste.
Hi, beauties. My name is Megan, and I couldn't pass up an opportunity to share who Jennifer Hall really is with all of you. Jennifer is a gifted woman who loves to share the tips and tricks of mastering lessons from the universe through real life experiences. When I found Jennifer about 2 years ago, I did not know what to expect. My past conditioning had me fearing psychics and avoiding them, and that was something I overcame within my first conversation with Jennifer. She has no desire to control you or make decisions for you, but she will tell you what's best for your highest good, and it's up to you to do the work or not. It's very common for people to seek out a psychic to read the future, and sure, it's human nature to want to know what we don't know to find the certainty in life, but what you actually get through Jennifer is so much deeper than knowing with certainty. It's really about how to grow through the uncertainty and embrace the power each of us hold deep within our own sovereignty and untapped gifts. Jennifer has helped me grow through many lessons in life. Relationship lessons with my husband of 15 years, my gifted and stubborn children, career lessons that involved overcoming complacency and dealing with difficult bosses, and of course, lessons for my spiritual growth and tapping into and embodying my own authenticity. Her podcast, Lessons from the Universe, is food for the soul. It is channeled wisdom, and it is personal wisdom that she picked up as she learned and grew into who she is today. Jennifer is well known and sought out. I have people from all over the world reaching out to me to provide a referral to her so that she can speak with them and they're able to meet her. This podcast makes it possible for people all over the world to receive her messages and receive the love that she pours into the collective. If you aren't a patron today, please consider becoming one and donating as much as $1 per month. If all of her beloved fans donated just $1, it would make an amazing impact on her offerings to the world. I meet with Jennifer monthly, and I'm also a patron because I believe so much in the lessons from the universe, and I have witnessed the beauty in learning and growing, the beauty in overcoming and smashing the many bubbles of conditioning that I succumbed to in my past. I have a new, more powerful story, and a big part of this story is embracing lessons from the universe. Your story will continue to change, and your donations will help many others change their stories across the globe, allowing the story of the collective to change for the best as well. If you love and live through the lessons from the universe as much as I do, like, share, and become a patron, and watch Lessons from the Universe take the rest of the world by surprise in the best ways possible. Sending light and love to all of you. Namaste.
I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, come out and find me on social media. And if you're inspired by the podcast, please consider clicking that little green patron button at the top of the screen. Here, you can help keep us growing and flowing, and you can gain access to what I call Jen in real life. That is patron-only content.
If you're wanting to learn more, I recently introduced educational sessions specifically to address people's questions that come up around the podcast. These are the only sessions available to new clients, and you can find details in the About section of my Facebook page. I want to send each of you light and love, clarity and wisdom, and know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast who's got your back. Until next time, beloved, namaste.